everybody. Welcome back to this. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths. And today we have one of my longtime dear friends, was my best friend at the start of my career when we were both in our NBDL days. So for those of you who are younger than me, it is now the G League. But so without further chatter from me, I'm going to introduce everybody to BJ Evans. B, thanks so much for joining today.
Thanks for having me, Shu. Happy to be here with you. It's been such a long time that we've actually talked. So this is probably going to be more personal fun talk than actual, you know, education and experience based, but it's great.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. So folks, we knew each, I mean, it was a long time ago. I'm talking 20 years, something like that.
2001.
So I was just fresh out of getting my graduate degree in Michigan. And I got this call from Kim Colbert from the MBA. You remember Kim?
Yeah, Kim, yeah.
And she says to me, it was a Thursday, I remember. She says to me, so I have this, because I had been stalking the MBA for a job. You know my obsession with the MBA. And so she says to me, well, so have you ever been to Asheville, North Carolina? Here's this opportunity. I was like, no problem, I'll be there.
Yeah. So
I get the job and I'm there Monday and I show up and Bradford, BJ, B, became my roll dog. Like, you were so instrumental in, I don't know, we probably never talked about this kind of thing, but like, I always think back and how what an impact you had on my career.
Oh.
Just by the way you were operating, by our friendship, the way you accepted me at that time. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I mean, you think about like new ventures like the D-League was, and everybody was new and coming from different places. Yeah. And outside of myself and then Alfred White, who was a team president, nobody else really was North Carolinian, you know, culture. You know, so I felt like I was the conduit to introduce North Carolina to all of you.
No, it's so true. And it was so interesting to me, actually, because I had grown up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, as you know, and I had been in the Detroit inner city a ton and had worked with two different WNBA teams. So I was used to, and always from the north, so like I was not used to that culture of the South and the Southeast specifically.
Southwest.
Well, oh, sorry, in North Carolina, but the Southeast.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I got you. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I remember like, okay, so I remember the first ticket sales table we went to. It was you and me standing next to each other. I tell this story all the time, by the way. You and me, and I think Patricia was standing with us at the time, Patricia Porter. And some guy walks by with a Confederate flag vest on. And I was like elbowing the two of you like, oh my God, this is outrageous. You were like, welcome to the South, Shauna. I was just, and at that time, it was just crazy to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, you know, growing up in North Carolina, like you saw it all the time. And like a quick, funny story. So like, you remember the show, The Dukes of Hazzard?
Yeah.
And, you know, the General Lee car. So that was one of my favorite shows. And I used to cheer for that car. And then, you know, as I got older and I started educating myself, and then I realized that I was cheering for something that represented hate. And so it totally flipped my perspective of like the world, you know, because I had no idea. Like when I was a kid, I didn't know. And I think from a parenting standpoint, my parents were like, well, he enjoys the show, so let's not inundate him with this information about what the Confederate flag means. Let's allow him to figure that out and find out on his own. And then once I started asking questions, then they started providing that information to say, this is what this is.
Yeah.
And so then you tried to figure out, like, you know, people have their own views about things and then they go about their lives the way they want to. And so as long as they don't impact your day to day, then allow them to feel, believe, think the way they want, as long as it doesn't affect you personally. And so you became jaded to, you know, seeing the t-shirts and the vest and the flags on the cars because it was so in your face in the state of North Carolina. I mean,
yeah,
shoot, the bordering state of South Carolina, it was in their state flag for so many years. So you saw it all the time, you know, and if you watch college football, it's in Ole Miss's school flag. So it was in your face all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just, I remember it. And again, I tell people about it because I think that was a moment for me when, again, it was not what I was used to seeing and being around. And I was like outraged, wanted to do something, you know, but it was just, and I also talk about the fact that like the culture is very different, the business culture, this is like just in society. I remember when I used to call people out, you know, I was trying to sell tickets or sell some like corporate sales package or something. And, you know, I would be in my fast talking Shauna way and they'd be like, you ain't from around here. They'd be like, slow down. And so I'm actually so grateful that I had the experience early in my career to live in different places, which we'll get into you with for in your career, because you've definitely been a journeyman in the NBA. But I look at it with gratitude because I really did learn that different areas of the country do have these different cultures and the way that they operate, again, in business and in society. It was super interesting to me.
Yeah, you think about, like, it is different in different places of the country. Like, and I used to tell you guys all the time, of like, if you're hard selling someone from the South, don't expect an answer right away.
No.
Like, you want to process the information, and the harder you push, the less they're going to be listening to you. You know, so make your pitch, say thank you and goodbye, and then follow up later, because they're not going to respond to you. And like, to your point about, you know, you're not from around here. If you remember, like, we had a city council meeting one time in Asheville, and Alfred was introducing everybody. And he was saying, you know, this person's from here and this person's from there. And then when he introduced me and said I was from North Carolina, everybody clapped. You know, y'all were like, what's going on? I said, because they know me. I'm from here. You know, because I'm from North Carolina and the rest of y'all are not. You know, that's the difference. So so that was a funny one. I tell people that story all the time. I'm like, I was with a staff of people in the D League, and our boss introduced everybody, and he introduced me last and said I was from North Carolina, and they clapped for me.
So. But it actually made such a difference. You remember, I remember his name, Lee Scruggs, the player that we had who was from North Carolina, and we got him. And I mean, I got so excited when I introduced you that I forgot to say, folks who are listening, BJ is currently the VP of basketball communications at the Cleveland Cavaliers. So we've been talking about our experience. We got started in our careers. Well, BJ, you are already going on in your career, but in professional basketball. And so, you know, you ran with it, I think, in like media and things you were doing to get Lee out in the marketplace and really, I'll call it in a positive way, exploit the fact that he was a local. I mean, his mom was even a celebrity for us.
Correct. You know, and the guy, I think he was at Georgetown. But he was literally from the Asheville area.
Yeah.
But the funny thing, as tall as he was and as much of a name as he was, people didn't know him. And I'm like, how does this guy walk around this town and nobody knows him? You know, so it was interesting to introduce him to people that I assumed that knew him and didn't. And then once they said, oh, you from X high school and blah, 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 I had no idea. You know, because, you know, in that state, in that area in particular, it was Brad Daugherty and Buzz Peterson, you know, two guys that went to UNC North Carolina, but they're both from that area, too. So in the minds of Asheville natives, it was basketball player, okay, Brad Daugherty. Oh, basketball player, Buzz Peterson. That's all they knew. So this guy, Lee, they was like, you're from here, too? You know, so it was almost like, you know, I can't believe you're from here, but okay, all right. Yeah. So this is cool. So it was fun to do that, because then I felt like I was meeting people that I thought he should already know. And then it became a nice little relationship building, you know, type of opportunity, which, you know, is the basis of good PR, is having great relationships. So,
yeah, which I have to say, folks, BJ, you have been the ultimate networker, connector. It was like you always knew everybody. Everybody always knew B. And it was one of the things that I really did learn from you, through you, by observing you, was things that stood out to me as I was thinking about you in this conversation was about your incredible network and the authenticity of your network. To your point, you just talked about the quality of the relationship. So, I want you to talk about that a bit, but the other thing was your work ethic. I'll tell you what, people listening to this, I got to that team and BJ was a machine. He invented hustle. I just remember like you were always on the go, always hustling. You were first in the office, last to leave. I remember bringing you Bojangles after games or like, when you were still stuck at the arena and all this kind of stuff. But you really did make an imprint on my work ethic and some of those things. And I've always thought about it, about my own journey in creating authentic relationships because it really does just help your foundation. It becomes a calling card. So I'd love to hear about kind of your philosophies in those areas and, how you've evolved in those areas.
Well, from the relationship networking standpoint, so when I first got into sports, at the University of Madison Shore, we'll take it back to undergrad. So I used to work at the Mideastern Athletic Conference as an intern and the assistant commissioner at the time, a lady named Brenda McCoy. And one of the first things she told me was, remember everybody you meet, ask them about their career, and find some type of point of reference that you can always remember about that person. You might not remember their name right away, but you remember why you met them, where you met them. And she said, you'll be surprised that that person you meet like 5 years earlier, you're going to run into them again like 10 years later because the sports world is so small. You just have no idea. And so that kind of resonated with me. But then it was also kind of natural for me. Like, I like talking and I like talking to people and I like meeting people. And so PR and my own like natural mentality kind of went together. But meeting people and like remembering them and following up with them and connecting with them and sending an email, a text, well, text now, but then it was a phone call, follow up. That allowed me to meet more and more and more people. And so from day one, like my goal was to make it to the NBA. And so the only way for me to make it to the NBA was to meet people and meet people that worked in the NBA. And if I couldn't get my hands on somebody that was already there, I tried to get my hands on people that had been there or were also trying to get there. And whether it was a media person, an athletics director, a game official, a hot dog vendor, a bus driver, anybody that had a touch point somewhere that I could ask questions about. But then also too, I was remembering those people this is like so far out of bounds, but I know just about all the first names of the bus drivers that drove us around when I was working at the University of Madison Shore and North Carolina A&T and places like that. Like I remembered all the bus drivers. And I don't know why I did that, but I remembered all the bus drivers. And I made sure I knew all the names of the people that took care of the building. I made sure I knew all the housekeeping staff. I made sure I knew all the security people. And so because, that was kind of like the basis of me being comfortable in my job and being able to do my job efficiently, because you got to touch a lot of different people in a lot of different places and a lot of different things to accomplish your job. Like it's not just about you, it's about a lot of people, the sum of all parts to make one great product. And so that is how I kind of position myself in my career, is I keep meeting people that help me grow. And I can only grow as much as the information I have. And like, you don't know what you don't know until you ask somebody. And I always ask. And because, my goal was to get here, I'd ask questions. And then if it wasn't the answer that I wanted, or it was an answer that made me go back and reevaluate how to get there, I did that. And so I think that's kind of how like my network kind of built up. But then all the different steps I had from college athletics to the conference office to NCAA committees, which by the way, when I tell people that I was on the NCAA women's basketball committee, you know, as a committee rep, they'd be like, "Women's basketball?" And I'm like, "Yeah." I said, "But you guys don't understand the people that I met along the way." Yeah. Like I'm sitting in the same room with Pat Summitt, you know, for first and second round. I'm sitting in the room with Gino Auriemma. I'm sitting in the room with all of these legendary women's basketball coaches, but also just basketball minds, you know. And I made it a point to shake their hand, tell them who I was, tell them what I was about, tell them what I was interested in, you know, because you never know who they may talk to that says, "Hey, I met a guy. He works at the MEAC office, so he works wherever, you know, give him a call." You know, because that networking, you never know who's thinking about you. You know, you never know how your engagement with somebody is going to help you advance to the next step. And my networking base just exploded after that NCAA committee rep positions. Like, I met people I thought I'd never meet in my life, you know, and so that's just, I can't say enough about networking, because it's all about who you know. You know, like you hear in college, your professors say, "It's not about what you know, it's who you know." Well, you got to know a little bit, but it also helps to know somebody as well.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, I got out of Asheville because at the time, the head of PR for the D-League, you remember Brian Flynn?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So Brian Flynn was the head of MBDL PR at the time. But Brian Flynn was the intern for Tim Donovan, who was the head of PR for the Miami Heat. And that's how I got the interview with the Heat and ultimately got the job, because of my connection to Brian, who Brian had a connection to Tim, and he sold me to Tim. And that's how I got literally into the NBA, because of a networking step from the D-League. So,
yeah.
I mean, networking is the thing. And then, you know, once you get in the door, then you start flipping your business card and you start emailing and you start texting, like, you know, "What do you do? Oh, how can you help me? Hey, can you write a story about my guy? You know what? I'll call you later. Hey, do you play golf? I play golf. You want to play golf together?" You know, you just find all of these different ways to engage with people, but then create a memory so they remember you, you remember them, and you continue to stay in touch. And that's how your network grows. And that's how mine has grown.
Yeah. I love the way you said that, though, about like you create a memory. And I think that's part of the authenticity that I'm talking about when you are creating these relationships. You know, it's like you don't just stop at the "Hi, I'm BJ," or like, "Here's my business card." Mm-mm. You take those steps to have the conversation. You remember the thing. You remember the people who, you know, people who remember like the bus drivers and that, you know, all of that, you care, yeah. You know, you take that next level. You're truly engaging with people. And I think that just, it matters so much, you know, because there's such a difference between someone who's surface in connections and like, okay, well, I'm going to meet them because I'm going to might need them later.
Right.
No, you meet them, you create that memory, you create that engagement, and then you can really call on that and add value to that person as well.
Yeah, like in my mind, I'm meeting lifelong friends.
Mm.
Like that's how I look at it. Like when I talk about you, and I remember you first got there in Asheville and you didn't have your car yet. And So I'm driving you around, and then when your car finally showed up, and this is after we didn't have a conversation, you told me about Michigan and how you like sports and basketball and all your family. And then your car, you know, pulls up and you got two Nike stickers in the windows. And I'm like, "Oh, okay. You know, there's you got a Nike car, you know," you know? And so like that sticks in my mind about, you know, you having two swooshes in your windows, you know, and then your nickname Shoe. And so here's the memory for me and you, in addition to some other conversations we've had, but, you know, nickname Shoe, you had the Nike swooshes on your car. I'm a sneakerhead, which is all I wear is Nike. So I'm like, "Shoe, shoe, shoe, shoe," the car. It's all you, like that in my head all the time.
I love that. I love that. It's so true. It's so true. But so I also talked about part of that hustle even comes out when you talk about the way that you move and operate and network. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a habit. It's a practice. And so, you are, like I said, you invented the word hustle. It's like in the dictionary next to the word hustle is bee's face. So like, talk about where did that work ethic come from?
Well, I mean, part of it is just the way my parents brought me up. Like nothing was ever like given to me just because I asked for it. Like, mm-hmm. like they made me work for everything. Like I never got a car when I turned 16. Like, I didn't get a cell phone until my sophomore year in college. The first car that I ever bought myself, I had to buy it myself. Like I had to earn everything. And then once I got into my career and I thought like things were just going to come easy. Like in middle school, high school, like, you know, we all, you know, grew up playing sports. And so basketball was easy for me. Like all sports and stuff was easy for me. And so school was easy for me. You know, and so once I got to college and I saw there was a lot of people that came up with, you know, easy, you know, ways to get through things, I was like, okay, I got to compete, you know, and so I started competing with people with like interests, with like backgrounds, with, you know, and so I was like, okay, I got to really like figure out a way to separate myself to advance in my career. You know, and at the time, you know, if you were an HBCU student, you know, you weren't viewed as having the same education experience and background as, you know, other kids that went to Power Five schools or what have you. You know, now HBCU is the bell of the ball right now. But,
yeah.
You know, but back then, you know, your experience level had to be 10 times that of your peer. And so I knew that in order to compete at the same level as others, I had to go the extra mile. So if I had to write an extra 2 inches on my press release to put more information in it, I did it. If I had to put ice in the cooler just to help the equipment manager, I did it. You know, if I had to volunteer, you know, at a non-paying basketball tournament just to get the experience to meet somebody else to add to my networking base, I did it. Like there was nothing that was out there that I was afraid to, you know, stick my toe in the water, so to speak, to get a chance to like do something. Like I always wanted to be doing something, you know, and to show people that I was willing to do something, willing to do anything to advance my career, to advance my education, to advance my opportunity. And I mean, that's just the way I came up. Like when I say like school was easy, sports was easy, like I'm a little pun there. Like I had to work, I had to work my tail off to get everything that I was able to accomplish and be a part of. But, you know, it's just kind of how I was brought up, Shu. Like I just never take for granted like the opportunities that have been provided to me. And then at the same time, you know, I try to make sure that when I get to a certain spot, that the people that helped me get there can be proud that they helped me get there, that they're proud that they were a part of my, you know, elevation to get to this point. Like I don't want to let them down. Like, I don't want to let my parents down. I don't want to let my friends down. I don't want to let my mentors down. I don't want to let, like, my classmates down. You know, I don't want to let down the next generation of PR people that want to kind of follow the path that I took to get here. So I take that responsibility, you know, very serious about who I represent, not just represent myself, but who I represent to get here. And then now that I'm here, like, how am I holding myself accountable for how I go about my business and how I tell people I go about my business and how I demonstrate how I go about my business. And so, you know, it's just innate, Shu. Like, I don't know any other way. Like, yeah. I really don't know any other way. And even when I'm on vacation or even when I'm on the golf course or even when I'm just trying to get off the grid for a little while, I'm still thinking about work. You know, like I wake up sometimes like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, like, oh, you know what? We can do this tomorrow. Yeah, we can do this tomorrow. And I'll scribble down on a piece of paper and put it beside the bed, you know, while I'm thinking about it, because, you know, it may be gone when I finally do get up, and then I'll go back to sleep. But it's like, it's just, I'm like constantly on. And, you know, my wife talks about it all the time. She's like, don't PR me when you get home. Just don't PR me at home. And I'm like, I'm sorry. You know, so had to find that balance of, you know, work-life balance to know when to turn it off and turn it on. And so I've strategically found ways to like turn it off and turn it on, and like give myself those opportunities to decompress and, you know, not think about work, you know, so then when I come in the next day, I can go 1,000 miles an hour, you know, and then calm it down on the back end.
Yeah. I'm like, as you're saying it, I'm laughing and smiling because I'm partly like, guilty as charged. Like, I think, no, but really when I talk about it, like, I remember you know, I watched you operate that way. I watched P operate that, Patricia Porter operate that way. I'm here with all of the nicknames, folks. P is what I call it. But, you know, I mean, that stuff really rubbed off on me. And like, I've got my sticky notes and I'm always doing something, you know, my brain's always going. And my husband, John's like, what are you doing now? Like, right. Scribbling something down. And, you know, as we're driving along, I'm like some back of an envelope or something, you know, but I do. And I know what you mean about, you just don't know how, like any other way to be. I just don't, you know, it's like, it is not necessarily that I'm competing against somebody else. I'm competing to be the best version of myself that I can be and to have the maximum positive impact that I can on others, on the business that I'm working on. And I think, you know, that really is what drives it. And which also brings me, the whole mention of positive impact brings me, like, that's something that I noticed about you then again, that authenticity of those connections and like helping people out. And then recently, Gerard Littlejohn, who I met, who was on the show just, I think it was last week we dropped his episode, but I remember when I met him and I had this moment where he said the Bobcats, and I was like, wait, you know BJ Evans? And it was like, oh, eruption, and, you know, just excitement. We realized that we both had that bond with you, and it was amazing to hear him talk about the positive impact that you have had on his career, his journey as someone coming up in PR communications. And so, you know, I just want to acknowledge that is a part that I think is really special about you. And I'm curious, like, where has that come from? And, you know, how are you viewing that as a part of your own evolution?
Yeah, I take great pride in listing the people that have interned for me or worked for me, and looking at their accomplishments. And when I do speak to them and they talk about, yeah, I got this from you, or if they call and ask my advice about something, and that touches me like to its core, because, you know, like you said, like, you know, I had an impact on you, but I think about like all the people in my career that had an impact on me and why they had an impact on me. And I feel like, you know, in order for this business that I'm in to continue to, you know, grow, then you gotta help grow the next generation. And so, like, if like somebody like Gerard, like when I look at like everything like Gerard does, you know, I just smile, because I remember him coming into the office like these bright eyes, and was like, you know, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And he picked up everything like quickly. And like, you know, people that, you know, you tell them once and they can take it and run with it, like, those are the special ones. But then you have some that you give them something, they pick it up, but then they still got to kind of pull back and ask questions and kind of build themselves up to that quick hitter. Well, I like those too, because in a sense, it helped push me to be better for them, you know, and I always like to bring people along. So if I like reach a certain level, I love reaching back and pulling somebody with me, because you just never know. Like, to go back to what we were saying earlier, you never know who you're going to run across in this business. And somebody may take off and be a million miles ahead of you, but because you have such an impact on them, they may end up pulling you, you know, mm-hmm. to that next point. And I just feel like it's my responsibility to create opportunities for those around me for things that they may not know or the things that they want to accomplish. And I try to go out of my way to give them all the resources, all the time, all the conversation to help them reach their goal. And like, I'm not selfish in my position that I'm just going to hold on to everything and do it myself and just let you see me doing it. Like, I want you to experience it too, because like the next day is not promised. The next career opportunity is not promised. And so, you know, if COVID didn't teach us anything, it taught us that you have to lean on others to get things done. You know, and I had my bout with COVID, and I missed a couple of games this past year. And I was 100% confident in my staff that they could handle things because, you know, we've talked about what will happen in worst case scenarios. But if we didn't have those conversations in worst case scenarios, or what would you do in this situation? Or if I'm not here, are you able to handle X, Y, and Z? Well, if we hadn't gone over what X, Y, and Z was, then that person or persons wouldn't be able to step in and do the job. Mm-hmm. And so that's my responsibility to get the people that work with me ready for those worst case scenarios or those scenarios to help them elevate their own careers. And I take that very, very seriously, no matter if it's an intern, a coordinator, a manager, a director, whomever I'm next to, somebody at another team, you know. Like, I get hit on LinkedIn all the time from just like random, you know, college students or people trying to get into the business. Like, hey, I want to connect with you. Can I ask you a couple of questions? I'm open to that all the time because I like to extend my networking base because you just never know. Like, if I have a job opening, oh, man, somebody reached out to me from so-and-so. And so let me ping them and see what's going on, see if they're still in the market for a job or if they know somebody else. Like, that's like PR I think was made for me because it allows you to talk and be around and engage people. And I like doing that. Like, that's fun. And, mm-hmm. you know, and then if you add the sports element to it, then it makes it even more exciting, you know?
It's funny when you say that, that was one of the things that always stood out to me is you always look like, it wasn't a job to you. You were having so much fun in what you were doing. And that always did stand out to me. And I'm laughing about it because, like, I know I wasn't paid when I was doing some of the stuff I was doing. I was like, I'm going to do some of that. But yeah, I was over there trying to sell ice to Eskimos, ticket sales, and corporate sales. And no, but I love that you've talked about this because I think especially the, like, you know, you remember people along the way, people who are the next generation coming up. And because even when you were talking about, you mentioned Brian Flynn, I mentioned Kim Colbert. These are people that at pivotal moments, they took a chance on us with a phone call, with a recommendation, whatever that was. And, you know, I know you went from the altitude to the Miami Heat. Again, I was talking to you earlier about being a bit of a journeyman. From the Heat, I think you went to the Bobcats, and then from the Bobcats, you went to Cleveland, where you've been now for, you said, what, 10 years?
This will be season 10.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, that's a journey, and I think, again, like, probably all along the way, you had people that, you know, opened a door, remembered you, that kind of thing, but then, you know, in I love that you said you feel it's a responsibility. You're also a bit of paying that back and doing that, giving that out to other people. And so there's a bit of a joy in that, I think.
It is. I like I said before, like, I'm so proud when I see people that I've worked with before excel in their careers. And just to think, like, I had a small piece of that. Like, I can enjoy that and you know, take that moment in with them. Like, I get so excited, you know, when I see, you know, somebody doing well in the business. Like, I think it's just great, you know, and it speaks volumes to their, you know, aptitude, but also, no pun intended, their altitude, you know, in their own career. So, you know, it's great. It's great.
That's awesome. It's awesome. And I bet you had, well, I know you've had bigger impact than you even realize. So thank you. You're a special one, B. Yeah. All right. So I know you probably have like a coach or a player knocking at your door, and I'm running short on time. So my last question is just one thing I like to do at the end of our episodes is to ask people if you had one or two things that you wanted as takeaways for people to have from your episode. What would those one or two takeaways be, knowing that this audience is, you know, spans the age groups and, you know, but very much is about, you know, authentic, diverse leaders.
Yeah. Well, I'd say the first thing is, you know, relationships matter, and they matter on so many different levels, from a personal level to a professional level, to just having your own, you know, mental health awareness. Like, relationships matter. I mean, you got to have people that you can talk to in all three of those different spaces, but they all kind of run together. You know, that's the one takeaway. And then the other one is, you know, just being true to yourself, you know, allows you, you know, the opportunity to be happy and find happiness, like, within yourself, but happiness within, you know, the environment that you're living in, that you're working in, you know, because, you know, you said something like, I never looked at it as like a job. Like, I don't, you know, like, I wake up every day and I drive to the gym, you know, and I work at the gym, you know, I've got an office, but I work at the gym, and there's a basketball court with a lot of basketballs and a lot of basketball players and coaches and people hanging around, and we're traveling and we're going to different cities and we're having games and all that stuff. Like, how can that not be fun? You know, how can that not be fun? You know, it's a lot of hard work. And like I like being the wizard behind the glass. Like, you know, you don't see the work that, you know, my group does before games, you know, during games and after games. But, you know, what you do see is what people say, man, I want your job. You know, they see me standing courtside. They see me with a player doing an interview. That, you know, they may see me in the background of a picture, like, yeah, I want to do that. And I'm like, well, 90% of the stuff that I did, you don't see, and I'm not sure you want to do that, you know, unless you know what it's about. So,
yeah,
you know, those would be my two takeaways.
All right, those are good ones for sure. It has been an absolute joy to catch up with you. We are going to make this more frequent. I don't want this to be it can't be 20 years from now, B.
No, we cannot.
It's an absolute joy to see you thriving, and I'm so excited for you and grateful for the impact you had on me and so many others. So thank you so much for coming on today.
I appreciate you having me, Shu. This has been fun. Tell your sister and your family I said hello.
I will.
You know, and your husband, who I haven't met, tell him hello.
I will. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. Have an awesome day.